And now, Lord, we pray that you'll hear us in our prayers and help us now in this hour to hear your word, be with the one who speaks and brings the word. May he be faithful. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two scripture readings. First one will be Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. This is a topical kind of sermon, not a part of a series. It is born out of a missionary that I heard speak recently, a missionary to Kenya. So first, Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. I'll stop there. And then the second reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 also, and verses 14 through 16 also. Verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things?" The Word of God. Amen. The first passage is, again, from Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling, it says, or complaining or questioning in the ESV. Let's think about that for a moment. Probably the Apostle Paul here had in mind the history of Israel. And in the history of Israel, in Exodus 15, after the Israelites had come through the Red Sea and so forth, they grumbled. I mean, God had just done a fantastic miracle for them. They came through without even having muddy feet. And yet, they grumbled and complained. There were consequences for that. And it's also told in chapter 16, verses 6 through 9. I'm going to ask you to turn there with me. Exodus 16, 6 through 9. "So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?' And Moses said, 'When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord.'" Well, I read a little more than I said, but I think that's probably what Paul has in mind here when he's talking about doing all things without grumbling, that kind of historical context. But we also have grumbling in our present day, even though God takes care of us and is very good to us. We grumble about, for instance, politics. We watch Fox News or other such news outlets, and we see what's going on. We see what the politicians are doing, and we grumble. We want to throw something at the TV, or we actually speak to the TV or the people who are in a camera, behind a camera somewhere where that TV is focused. We grumble about politics. And you know, there's something, we have a worldview, don't we? We view things according to our Christian worldview, and some things are very grievous. in the world, and we have a right to grumble about them. But we should do it in private. And we shouldn't be grumbling in a place where people will see that that's what we are, that's what we do, that's who we are. We are grumblers. We grumble all the time. We're always grumbling. So we should be very careful in our grumbling, if we grumble, to grumble not on Facebook, for instance, where everybody will see what we're grumbling about, our political views and our anger at this thing going on and that thing going on and on and on and on. We can grumble, 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 and we'll get a reputation for it, won't we? Or maybe it's at work. Some people grumble at work. They do politics at work. They'll talk about what's going on, and they'll become known as the grumbler about this or that. That's their label. We may grumble about other things, too. We may grumble about the weather. Some people have almost no good things to say about the weather. It's either too hot or too cold or too humid or too dry. It doesn't rain enough or it rains too much or on and 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 on. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And that's maybe what they're known for, is always grumbling. Or maybe they grumble about family members. Let me tell you about my aunt. Or let me tell you about my cousin. Or let me tell you what's going on over here and some part of the family. Grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. And people have to hear it. They have to bear it. They have to hear it all the time from that's who we are. That's what we are. We're grumblers. Kind of like the Israelites. Or even grumbling about our neighbors. I don't want to be someone who's known, even by those who might hear me all over the world on sermon audio, as someone who would grumble about his neighbors, although I might have reason to grumble about my neighbors. We need to be careful about this grumbling, because he says that, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless. So, when we grumble and are known for our grumbling, our political grumbling, our grumbling about the weather, or family, or neighbors, or whatever it is, if that's what we're known for, then we are not, as described here, blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. In the midst, he says, of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, it is a crooked and twisted generation. There is reason to grumble about these things, but we're not to do it in such a way as that's what characterizes us. We are to be without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, not known for our grumbling. I know that I need to improve in this matter, personally. Maybe you do too, because our witness matters, you see. We're to be the children of God without blemish in the midst of this crooked and twisted generation. And we're to shine as lights in the world instead of getting stuck in the darkness. So that's one point to make. And I think it's also undergirded by the second passage, which is over in 2 Corinthians. I have that one marked as well, which I read earlier. And now I can't seem to find where I marked it, but here it is. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. The Apostle Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." Now we'll stop there for a moment. What is this triumphal procession? We have been made captives by Christ. When a great conqueror would go out and he would conquer a place, he would gather his captives and he would lead them in triumphal procession as he was returning, kind of showing off his triumph, showing what he had captured, showing that he had beaten the enemy, and he's got these people. And well, Jesus, in a sense, has beaten the enemy too. He's beaten the devil in us. And he has made us his trophies. So thanks be to God, who in Christ leads us in triumphal procession. We're We're in that triumphal procession that Christ is leading as he captures us and then makes us trophies of his grace and shows the world what he can do for sinners. And he says, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. We are to smell good, my friends. And that's why we can't grumble in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We can't be known as grumblers because we won't smell good. We will stink. We won't shine as lights in the world. We won't be the unblemished children of God in the midst of all that. We will stink. But we are to be led in this triumphal procession, and then God spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him, Christ, everywhere. Then he says in explanation, verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. We have been captured and we are in that place where God is showing us to the world. He's using us in the world as lights, the previous passage, and now as a good smell to the world. We are to smell like Christ. We're to let the work of Christ in us, the joy of Christ in us, the thanksgiving should overflow in us in such a way that people see it and they say, wow, that's really a different person. They're really different from a lot of other people. They're full of joy, even in their troubles, even in their trials, even in their sickness. They're full of joy in Christ. They smell good. Their appearance is good. Now, it's also clear here, he says, to want a fragrance of death to death. That's not very positive. Sometimes we in our Christian life, our joyful, loving Christian life, people see us and they look at us and they don't think we smell good. They think we smell like death. That's because of their worldview, right? But to others, to those who are being drawn into Christ, it's life. They smell life and they see life in us. And so we're the aroma of Christ, which is life. To life. What we see here is that, in a sense, the gospel will be offensive. It will smell like death to a lot of people, even if we aren't grumblers, even if we are joyful and full of Christ in us, it will still be offensive to some people. But let the gospel be offensive if the gospel is offensive. You don't need to add to it by being offensive yourself, by stinking yourself, by being known as a grumbler and a complainer. We don't want to add our own bad odor. The scandal of the cross, the fact that people are sinners and that Christ had to come and die for them is enough scandal that they can't stand, that they don't like, that stinks to them. That is enough. We don't need to add to it that we are also offensive on purpose and in our way of being. We are to be faithful to Christ by letting His aroma surround us. And grumbling and complaining and being known for that in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation makes us stink. To use a modern term, we smell like haters. Yeah. You young people that going to college, you know those terms. You don't want to be a hater. Especially if you go to a college where there are a lot of non-Christians or even compromised Christians. These woke Christians, as they think they are anyway, will say you smell like haters. You and your absolute truth and your belief in the Bible and your complete confidence in all that stuff. You're a hater. We don't want to be that. Instead, we are to be full of thanksgiving, full of the glory of God and thanksgiving. One passage I ask you to turn to is Ephesians 5. Right quick. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Here I think is some very similar instruction. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. That is how you carry yourself in life. how you live. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. It's a twisted and perverse generation. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he gives some specific things here. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, and this is positive, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. That smells good. That looks good. That is beautiful. And then, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's to be the way we are characterized. Singing, making melody, giving thanks always and for everything. That's the way we are to be. Not like the Israelites who, as soon as they crossed the Red Sea and were saved in a sense, started grumbling, complaining against Moses, and he says it was against the Lord. I think we could also apply it this way. When we grumble and make ourselves known as grumblers, it sounds like we don't believe in God. We only believe in what's going on around us, not in God. But when we acknowledge the evil around us, the twisted and crooked generation, and we keep that kind of to ourselves, we show that we believe God's in control of that too. And it's going to be okay. He's going to take care of it in time. So those two things tonight. Avoid bad grumbling and have good aroma for Christ as you live in what we see. All around us is a crooked, perverse generation. Let us shine as lights in the world. Let us not be known as grumblers, haters, but let us be known as those who are full of thanksgiving to God. And let the offense of the cross be there. It will be. But let's not add to it by being offensive ourselves. It's a very simple message, isn't it? A message that I heard from a missionary to Kenya recently. And it struck my heart. It struck my heart and made me think, I need to share this with others as well. In fact, when I was listening to this message, I took out my phone and I texted somebody that I had failed to be thankful toward and was thankful toward them to show them that I'm trying to say that I'm trying to be like Christ here. Anyway. Let us join together in prayer and ask God to help us. Lord, now we pray that you would help us to apply this, your word, faithfully, that we would not be known as those who are full of complaint, but be known as those who are full of thanksgiving and honoring you and loving people around us and confident that you are taking care of everything in this world, even as we see that it is twisted and perverse and crooked. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.